Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Resurrection is a very important concept in the Scripture. The Bible speaks frequently of the resurrection of the dead. And what you and I need to understand is this. Every time that the Bible speaks of the resurrection, it gives that passage of Scripture a specific context. And what is that context? The kingdom of God. Meaning simply, there is an inherent relationship between resurrection and the kingdom of God. And we're going to see that clearly taught in our passage today. So with that said, take out your Bible and look with me, if you would, to the book of Luke and chapter 20. The book of Luke and chapter 20. We're going to begin with verse 27. And there is a certain group of leaders, those who were very important during this period of time. And they, for the most part, controlled the Sanhedrin. And what group am I speaking of? The Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the kingdom of God. They denied many of the things that the Scripture spoke of. And also, we know something else. They did not believe in the resurrection. In fact, they mocked the resurrection. And we're going to see that clearly in this portion of Scripture. But Messiah, based upon the truth of Scripture, he taught of the resurrection. He says concerning himself that he is the resurrection and the life. And when he speaks of that, again, he's speaking from a kingdom context, a kingdom perspective. So if you deny the resurrection, you deny Messiah. You deny the truth that through the resurrection, you will have life and have it eternally and have it in a new and very different way than life in this world. So the resurrection brings change, and specifically, the resurrection brings kingdom change. Well, let's begin. Look with me, as I said, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. And we're going to begin in verse 27, where it says here, but certain ones of the Pharisees, they were coming. Now, this means that they were presenting themselves, and the context would give us the conclusion, presenting themselves before Yeshua. And we're going to see that they came with a question. And it shouldn't be a surprise, based upon my introduction today, that question is going to relate to the resurrection. Look again at our text, verse 27. But certain ones of the Sadducees, they came forth, meaning they came to, specifically, came to Yeshua. And notice what it says about the Sadducees. The ones who were denying the resurrection. And it says afterwards, two words, not to be. Meaning they denied the resurrection, and the implication is they were saying it would not be. They were very dogmatic in their belief that there was no resurrection. And I said to you, they mocked the resurrection, and we're going to see that their intent is to mock Yeshua, that is, the Son of God, to try to discredit him by his belief in the resurrection. And it's going to be very enlightening what Messiah says in response to them. Well, notice they came before Yeshua. And notice we read at the end of verse 27, and they asked him, they had a question for him, verse 28, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us, if a certain brother should die having a wife, and this one should die childless. So here's a man, he's married, he dies, and there are no children. Moses spoke about this. Where did he speak about it? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, and primarily verses 5 through 10. I would encourage you to read this passage of Scripture. And there we have a very specific commandment. In Hebrew, it's called Yibum. What it is in English, I'm not sure, but it's simply, and we can define it, it is simply what we read. If there is a member of the family, he's married, he should die, and his wife has not had any children. He is childless. She is without child. Then that commandment of Yibum requires something, and we'll see exactly what it is. They knew what the Torah stated. It says here that if he should die without a child, the brother, literally his brother, should take the woman and raise up a seed, meaning an offspring, for him. Now, we see in the book of Deuteronomy that it says, so that his name is not blotted out. If he has no children, then that lineage is going to come to an end. So we see here that this brother, and it can be a family member, doesn't have to be a literal brother, but a relative, a close relative, he is to take that woman for a purpose, specifically to raise up an heir, that child inherits his deceased father's land, his name, and he continues on in this lineage. That's the purpose of this commandment called Yibum. And notice what it says in this passage. Look now to verse 29. Therefore, there were seven brothers. Now, the Sadducees who came to Yeshua having this question, they gave this example based upon the teaching of the Torah that a man who died without a child, that his relatives, specifically, in this case, they mentioned his brothers, that's preferable, that is normal, that one of the brothers is supposed to take her and raise up an heir for him again, so that that line, that family lineage, is not blotted out. And there is, and hear this, that there would be an inheritance for that newborn child, that it would continue on. This is the message. But we see in verse 29, therefore there were seven brothers, and the first one, having taken a wife, died without child. And therefore, what happens? Keep reading. It says, and the second one took this woman to be a wife, and this one died childless. So we have the same thing happening when this brother takes his deceased brother's wife. There is not a child that comes from this union. Then it says, look now to verse 31. And the third one took her, but likewise also the seven. So we have not just one or two or three, but all seven took her for the purpose of raising up an heir in order to fulfill this biblical commandment that we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 25. But we look at this scripture and notice what it says. But likewise also the seven, and there was not left a child, also they died. So there was no child ever produced by these seven brothers. Now that's not important to them at all. Look at verse 32. Lastly, all of them, meaning the implication is all of them had died. Also, the woman, that wife, died. Therefore, here's the question, verse 33. Therefore, at the resurrection, who of them will she be a wife? Why? For the seven had her as a wife. So we see here in this example, and it's kind of a foolish example, never was an heir produced. When we look at the scripture, we see that God's going to be involved in it. Now, a good example of God blessing is in the book of Ruth. We know that Boaz, he took a relative who was dead. His relative who was dead took Ruth, his wife. And we find that immediately there was conception and that child was born. But here in their example, there was no heir, no child produced. And they want to ask the question, at the resurrection, which again, they are mocking, they want to know whose wife will she be of these seven, because they all were married to her. Look now to verse 34. Now, the question was asked. The example is clearly understood. So now Messiah is going to respond to these Sadducees who denied the resurrection and therefore, as their theology and their doctrine stated, they denied the kingdom of God. Messiah is going to emphasize the kingdom of God. Why? Well, what have they been talking about? Resurrection. Resurrection is directly linked to the kingdom of God. Therefore, look at verse 34. And Yeshua answered, he said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. That's normative. Now, I want to stop and remind us that the emphasis, and we'll see this as we continue on, Yeshua's emphasis is going to be a proper understanding of the kingdom of God. Why is he talking about the kingdom of God? Because the subject that they brought up was resurrection. And again, remember that principle. Every time that the Bible speaks of resurrection, we should be reminded of the kingdom of God. That's going to be established. There is indeed going to be the kingdom of God. And remember what John said in the book of Revelation. When John viewed the kingdom of God, specifically the New Jerusalem. When John looked upon that New Jerusalem, we could say that new heaven and new earth, that second creation, the establishment of the kingdom of God in its final state, the New Jerusalem, he says, behold, all is new. And that word new is a kingdom word, meaning every time we see the term new in the Bible, we should think about kingdom. That word new always has kingdom ramifications. We have accepted the new covenant. It's a kingdom covenant. We become a new creation. We are a kingdom creation. We're no longer that old man, but we're the new man, meaning that we are going to experience the newness of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, and hear this, is very, very, very different. It's nothing like this world. And that's why Messiah says here, look again at verse 34. He says in the middle of that verse, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But the kingdom of God is going to represent something very different. Look now to verse 35. But the ones who are worthy of that age, meaning to obtain that age, what age? Well, he's going to tell us. and the resurrection of the dead. So those who are worthy of that age, what age? The kingdom age. And how are they going to be part of that kingdom age? He tells us in this same verse, by means of the resurrection of the dead. He says here, they do not marry, nor are they given in marriage. So it's a different reality than this world. In other words, marriage is of this world, but there is no marriage in the kingdom of God. Now I say that, but we need to understand there is one marriage. And that is, and the kingdom of God begins with that marriage banquet. And he's speaking here not of a literal marriage between one man and one woman. That's the order of God. I realize that this world that we're living in today is highly confused, highly perverted, highly deceived. But God's order is one man and one woman in that covenant of marriage, to death do them part. That is what's pleasing to God. And we need to affirm that truth. But in the kingdom of God, I said there's not going to be marriage. People are not married nor given in marriage. But what happens when we know there is going to be a bride? Who's the bride? Believers. From every tribe, every nation, every people, every language. And who's the groom? Messiah. So there is that wedding, that marital relationship, but it's not like a typical marriage. It is greater. It is more special. It is more holy. It's going to be a perfect covenant marriage. All things are going to be new. All things are different. This is what he's saying here. And keep reading. He says, look now to verse 36. For they do not die. So in the kingdom of God, there is no death. Now, again, we've learned something. People don't marry. People are not given in marriage, nor when we look at the kingdom of God, should we think of anything that relates to death. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of life. And in fact, we're going to see that our God is a God of life. So they do not die. No longer. And then it says, for they are able. And the implication is, they are able, those who are resurrected into the kingdom of God, those who have that new life, that kingdom life, they are going to be able, then it says, to be like angels. For they are the sons of God, being sons of resurrection. So because of resurrection, and what we find is this, when we accept that gospel, we become a new creation. The Bible says that old things pass away. Behold, all is new. New is a kingdom word. And therefore, we are going to be sons of God. Now, is this a sexist book? It is not. Sons refer to heir. So it says here that we, meaning both men and women, those who have accepted the gospel, we are going to experience a kingdom inheritance. And how wonderful that is. And one of the aspects of that kingdom of inheritance is life, a new life, a kingdom life, a life that is characterized by the qualities of the kingdom of God. And notice what it says. Move on to verse 37. But because the dead are raised, also Moses reported at the bush. So he's going back now. They brought up Moses, what Moses wrote. And now Yeshua, in a most magnificent way, he is going to show them that Moses also spoke about resurrection. He also spoke about the kingdom of God, and they don't understand it. And this is why we see that the Sanhedrin was a very confused group of leaders. They did not follow the Word of God. They denied much of the Word of God, much of the doctrines of Scripture, in order to embrace their own thoughts. And whenever we rely upon our own understanding, it is going to have disastrous results. Hear that. Understand that. Believe that. Accept that. When you rely upon your perspective, what seems right in your eyes, based upon your intelligence, perhaps based upon your experience, when you rely upon self and reject the truth of God, it is going to have disastrous results, and perhaps those disastrous results will be for eternity. That's why it's so important that we believe and the one who is indeed called the resurrection and the life. Accept him as our Lord and Savior. Believe in that gospel. Repent and believe in him. That's what the scripture demands. But notice what it says. Verse 37. Because the dead are raised. And Moses reported at the bush as he says, the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, notice, he spoke about these three, and even though they had died, what does Moses reveal? We'll keep reading. It says here, look now to the next verse, verse 38, but God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all of them are alive by him. It's in the dative. By him, by means of him, meaning God. They find life, eternal life, kingdom life is the implication. For God is not a God of the dead, but of living. For all are living by him. Verse 39. Now, we're coming towards the end of this passage. And notice, there's going to be another group who is mentioned. Now, the Sadducees, they, in most people's opinions, were heretics. So much of what this book speaks of, the Sadducees denied. They didn't think that there were angels. They didn't think that there were ever miracles. There was nothing supernatural. They were very scientific-minded. If it couldn't be reproduced, they denied it. Many people have that same belief. If I haven't experienced it before, I deny it. And they reject so much of a supernatural, miraculous God who promises a new creation. What's that new creation? The kingdom of God. Let me say with respect to you, but in all seriousness, don't be foolish. Don't rely upon your own intelligence, what seems right to you. Don't trust in your perspective. People say seeing is believing. No, the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing specifically the Word of God. So be wise and accept scriptural truth. Rely upon the testimony of the Word of God, and I promise you, you will never, ever regret it. So there were these Sadducees. They trusted in themselves. They believed what they saw, and they rejected much of the Word of God. But notice what it says in this next verse. Look, if you would, to verse 39. But certain ones of the scribes, notice a different group, not Sadducees, but the scribes. And the scribes, they were individuals who were committed to the Word of God. They loved God's Word. Did all the scribes have it right? Didn't say that. They too had at times theological problems, their understanding and interpretations of the Word of God, but they respected the Word of God. And therefore, they too believed in the resurrection. They too believed and had hope in the kingdom of God. Verse 39, but certain ones of the scribes said, Teacher, you have spoken well. Meaning, what you've said is right, it is good. It does indeed summarize the word of God. Now, when these scribes, when they said that, notice those who heard it, the scribes were highly respected because they taught in a miraculous God, a biblical God. They taught a supernatural God, a God that is actively involved with his people. The Sadducees denied that. The Sadducees, they had a view that God created everything and then stepped aside. They believed that God wasn't actively involved in this world, that we were left to ourselves, left to our own logic, our own mind, our own thoughts, our own vision, and we do things because we think they are right. That is going to get you into a lot of eternal trouble. So notice how the scripture concludes. Look at verse 40. It says here, but no longer was daring anyone, and it's in the plural, no longer were there any ones who were daring to ask him anything. Now, what is this to teach us? Well, we're coming towards the end of this 20th chapter, and we've seen something. Many people were asking him questions, and every time that they asked a question, trying to entrap him, what happened? He answered in a most profound way, showing wisdom, showing up those who wanted to discredit him, and over showing that his words were not his own, but his words come from God the Father. He spoke heavenly truth, and you have access to that same heavenly truth. You have it in this book. Let me simply conclude by saying, if you're going to have a meaningful life and you're going to have a glorious future, there's only one way. And that is to understand the revelation of this book and base your life, meaning base your decisions, base your actions, base your speech, base your thoughts on the Word of God. Cherish this book, revere this book, respect this book, and implement the Word of God, the revelation of God, the commandments of God in your life. If you do, I'll make you a promise. You will never, ever, ever regret having done so. Until next time, shalom.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.